opportunity that we could assemble together in a fashion like this to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you. I appreciate the presence of all of you, and that's an encouragement to me. I hope that we encourage one another as we come together today to worship the great God of heaven. Appreciate the fine song service and great job in the reading of the scripture reading. And for a moment of time, I hope that you'll be a good student of the Bible. You'll take out your Bible and follow along with me. I certainly don't want you taking my word for anything that I say. I'm not the standard. I'm not the authority. But we seek to have it thus saith the Lord for all that we believe, teach, and obey. May take any notes that you'd like to take. And if you have questions, you let me know. If I don't know the answer, I'll just simply say I don't know. This morning we're talking about the topic on the board. If you can see that, it's kind of faint. And that is sin. It's in the bulletin this morning as well. Wrote an article on this topic. And so if you have that, then you'll have a nice little outline to the sermon this morning. And if you want a little bit more detailed outline, then sermon outlines are in the back as well. You can pick one of those up on your way out. Just a very simple topic. The Bible has a lot to say about the subject of sin. Very important topic for us to think about. I want us to look at just some very simple things that the Bible has to say about sin. It's a word that occurs at least 389 times in the Bible. And so the Bible has a lot to say about it. It's first found in Genesis chapter 4 and in verse 7. When the phrase sin life at the door is found in the Bible. So I want us to think about, again, the topic of sin and just a few things about it. This is not exhaustive. There may be other things you could add to this list. We're just going to look at a few of them. The first thing that I want you to think as you think about sin is the fact that sin is transgression. This is a good companion study to our subject from last Sunday morning on situation ethics. And some of these references were found in that PowerPoint. If you want to pick that up, you're welcome to do that. But sin is transgression. That's not guesswork. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 4, the Bible very simply says and tells us what sin is. 1 John 3, 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is, and so the Bible's always its best commentary, it's always its best dictionary. Sin is transgression of the law. If you were to look that word transgression up, and perhaps Thayer's Lexicon Dictionary of the Bible, he would define it as failing to hit the mark, or a violation or offense of the divine law in thought or in action. And so very simply put, sin is doing that which is contrary to what God would have us to be doing. That's pretty simple. Again, it's not guesswork. So sin is transgression. Number two, sin is unrighteousness. In 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 17, the Bible says, and see if you have any difficulty understanding this. I don't think you'll have any. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin which is not unto death, the verse finishes by saying. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 7, we're instructed there that we're to be righteous. The Bible says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, what does he mean to do righteousness? How can I do righteousness? How can I know what I must do in order to be right or righteous in the sight of God? On the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, in verse 172, the Bible says, for all thy commandments are righteousness. And so when we do the commandments of God, then we'll be right in His sight. We'll be righteousness, righteous even as He is righteous. But you take that little prefix, on, and you put it in before the word righteousness, and I smile as I say that as Tracy was proofreading the bulletin for me. She just kind of laughed at that as it was a kind of a no-brainer moment. But it negates it. And I know that it's very simple for us to think about, but it's important for us to think about. When you put the prefix un in front of a word, it negates it. It makes it the opposite of what you're talking about. Unrighteousness is anything that is opposite righteousness. Righteousness is His commandments, doing the things that God would have us to do. And when I violate that, when I fail to do that, then I commit unrighteousness. Because it's the opposite of righteousness. I say that to point out this very kindly but firmly. Heaven will not be the eternal abode of those who do unrighteous. And I know that's the case because of what Paul pens in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 9. When he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And he goes on to say, "Be not deceived. Don't be without knowing. Don't be led astray. Don't have a skewed notion or thinking. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." I think that's interesting that the Bible puts it in that way. That he says, "Be not deceived, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And that's a very general term because it encompasses a whole lot of things, the opposite of doing righteous. But then after doing that, then he goes on to list some very specific things. And so if anyone is ever deceived into thinking that you have to do what is many times in the eyes of man, these big things, in order to not go to heaven, you need to perish the thinking that says that, or would have you to believe that. Because not only will those who do these specific things not go to heaven, except they repent and come to God on His terms, those who do unrighteousness, that is everything else that's not listed in that list, will not go to heaven, except they repent and obey God. And so sin is unrighteousness. Number three. Sin separates from God. In Isaiah 59 verse 2, "But your sin," notice what he says about sin and iniquity in that passage, Isaiah chapter 59 and in verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Sin as though it's a wall of separation between an individual who commits it and their Creator, God, the God of heaven, the God of the Bible. It's done that from the beginning, and it does it to this very day, separating individuals from God. I'll tell you back to the book of Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 7. A passage that, and an event that you know very well, that God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In verse 17, God gave the instruction, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die." Well, did they die physically that day? They didn't, did they? Now, later on, they did. As a result of sin and violation, transgression of the will of God. But the Bible says, "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." The word death in the Bible always carries the idea of a separation between one thing and another. Like, for example, when the Bible talks about the spirit separating from the body. When does that happen? What's that called? Death. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. In fact, eternal punishment, separation from God, is called the second death in Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. And so it continues to separate people even down to this present time as it did in the beginning. In Genesis 3, verse 24, when they violated what God had said, the Bible says, "So He," that is God, "drove out the man, and He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." So sin separates man. If you're here today and you're in your sin, you're separated from God. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to stay like that. You can come to God. You can leave your life of sin and obey the gospel if that's what you want to do. Number four, sin is individual. A lot of folks today teach in what's referred to as total depravity, hereditary sin, Adamic sin, saying because what Adam did, then that sin is just passed on to generation to generation. And so when you're born, you had the sin of Adam. The Bible does not teach that. Never has. Can you finish the rest of that? And never will. The Bible teaches that sin is individual, like in the book of Romans chapter 5. And so I say that because you can't blame Adam. Because you're separated from God by your sin. Here's a good passage that demonstrates that. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Now watch this. Also, it's Adam's fault, someone said. Keep reading. And so death passed upon all men. Now here's the kicker. For that all have sinned. I can't point back to the garden. And they point at self. For all have sinned. And so it's individual. In the book of Romans chapter 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as you come back over to the book of Ezekiel chapter 18, from which came our scripture reading. Ezekiel chapter 18. And in verse 1 beginning. This is a powerful verse, passage that knocks the props out from under the false teaching of original sin. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb? They were using a proverb, an illustration. What was the proverb? Saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Now, picture that. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and by what they did, the children's teeth are affected. He said, what do you mean by using this proverb? He says, verse 2, as I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall have no occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Why? Watch verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Can't blame mom and dad. You can't blame your fathers. Blame self. It's individual. And when you come down to verse 13, hath given forth upon usury and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. When you come on down to verse 17, the last part of verse 17, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. Not die for the iniquity of his father. Then verses 19 and 20. Yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. And the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon their children for generations to come. You know better, don't you? The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. In Exodus 32, 32 and 33, a very simple passage, but I like it very well in illustrated this point. Exodus 32, 32 and 33. Moses says, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. In other words, forgive them if you will, Lord. If not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Lord, if you'll not forgive them, then let it fall to my account. Blot me out of the book of the living, or which thou hast written. Okay, Moses, I'll barter with you. They sin, but I'll hold you responsible. Watch verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. You see the individuality and the responsibility in sin? I may have ungodly parents. I'm thankful I didn't. But individuals may have ungodly parents involved in ungodly things, not interested in spiritual things. But God will not lay that to the account of the children because of what the parents did. It's individual. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, notice that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Number 5. Sin is a killer. In Ezekiel 18:2, as I already read to you a moment ago, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And again in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, as we're having near the close of the New Testament, a picture of the judgment. It says in verses 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How many of us are interested in staying away from physical things that bring us harm? All of us are interested in that. I don't doubt that. And if I know something's going to harm me, I'm not going to on purpose do it. At least try to stay away from them because we don't want harm. If someone says, listen, don't do that, that'll kill you. Guess what? I'm not going to do it. I want to live. And stay away from sin. And I heed that advice beginning with me. Everything I say from the pulpit or lectern begins with me. I'll step on my own feet before yours. And stay away from sin. Why? Because it's a killer. Last point. Sin is forgivable. Now think about that. In light of the fact that sin is transgression, that sin is unrighteousness, that sin separates from God, that sin is individual, that sin is a killer, thanks be to God that sin is forgivable. I need God's forgiveness. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as crimson, your robes, wash them, make them white as snow. That's forgiveness. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Talks about the wickedness turning from his wicked ways. In Ezekiel 18, verses 21 and 22. God demonstrated His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And He doesn't want us to perish. Doesn't will it that any perish, but that all would come to repent, 2 Peter 3, and in verse 9. Jesus shed His blood that our sins could be forgiven when we obey the gospel of Christ, Matthew 26:28. Came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. When we are baptized into Christ, His blood washes away our sins. Acts 22, verse 16, Revelation 1, verse 5. And when we obey the gospel of Christ and we sin as we will from time to time, when we do that which is wrong, we miss the mark, God's made provision that as we repent of those things and make confession unto Him, He'll forgive us of those things. Acts 8:22 and 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If you're in this audience this morning and you're in your sin, therefore you're separated from God as a result of that, you need to come to the Lord before it's everlasting too late. Again, God's made provision for that. There's no reason. No reason on the top side of God's green earth that you should die in your sin in light of the fact of what God has done for you. You become a Christian by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, and being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. If you're here this morning, if you obeyed initially, but you went back out into the world of sin, you have opportunity to come back to God. Repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. God doesn't want you to be lost. We don't want you to be lost. Jesus doesn't want you to be lost. You say, preacher, I don't have to do that. You're exactly right. You don't have to. You can remain in your sin and go through that door and die in that condition. Heaven will not be your home. You don't have to obey. But again, God doesn't want that for you, and we don't either. Be cast in the lake of fire where you'll, for all eternity, think about your woulda, coulda, shouldas. If you don't want that for yourself, then don't delay. Come right now.